Right now, it is time to bring in the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Nack, Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You can find them on the web, tqag.com. Try to find them anyplace else, and you could go any one of the 50 states in this great country of ours, and possibly even overseas to London. But we've got them nailed down at home this morning, I do believe. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Oh, a double blast. Hey, well, we've got light snow. What do you have down there in fantasy land?
Well, we've got 54 degrees.
Ooh, it is chilly, chilly.
Yeah, it is a little, but it's sunny. So
people will have winter coats on down there today.
Yeah, and you know, down here when it gets down to 50, they could close schools because they don't know what to do in cold weather.
They open up the warming centers.
Yeah. Right. Well, it was. I mean, I was just out with the dog, and I had my three layers on, and my neighbor was out with her dog, and she had a big hood and a big jacket.
That's right. I always remember my first trip down in early in April to Florida to play golf, and tea time was early at 7 o'clock, and it was 53 degrees, and I'd come from 0 degree, and I'm out there with a pair of khaki pants and a golf shirt and a sweater, and I'm lined up to play with residents, and they have ski parkas.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And gloves.
Well, that's how we can tell people are not from this area. Right. when you go to the beach this time of the year, and they're just romping in the waves, and it's a heat wave, but people think it's cold down here.
But even this morning, Greg, our neighbor who's a snowbird, who's down here from upstate New York, I'm out there, and I'm in my neighbor's in her jacket, and I turn around and see our neighbor Bob, and I'm like, hey Bob, and he's in shorts and a short sleeve shirt. Just exactly right. It's like, wow, this weather is great. I'm like, yeah it is. Yeah it is.
All right, well, what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, well, my goodness, we had an absolutely fantastically exciting weekend. We were in Alexandria, Virginia for the weekend for the big sale that we've been talking about from the estate that we did in Spokane, Washington. And I'm proud to say that for sure we set at least two world records with two pieces of furniture that we sold, and possibly a third. So it was a wonderful sale of La Belle Epoque furniture and decorative items, and we had people from all over the world on the phones, in the gallery, and on the internet. We had bidders from Egypt, we had bidders from France, England, we had at least two from Belgium, New York. It was quite the event, locally
in Washington, D.C. there. These pieces of furniture, and I was the auctioneer, so that was very exciting, because to see it was like a sale from the 1990s. I mean, the room was full of people. There were people on the internet, there were people on the telephone. Absentee bids were left. They had shown the pieces at the Washington, D.C. Antique Show earlier this month, and also at the New York Antique Show earlier this month. So it was a just really well publicized, marketed, advertised, and well attended. We were very lucky. The weekend weather was beautiful too while we were in Alexandria, because actually on Sunday when we started to leave, the rain started and they said they were expecting snow. So we got in and did the auction and got out. But to Greg's point on several of the pieces, one in particular was the vitrine, this important French Belle Epoque ormolu mounted Kingwood vitrine it was gorgeous because of the way that it was constructed, the way that it was done, that I've never seen one. And even the people who had cataloged that are specialists in this area said, this is a rare piece. You don't see this come up that often. And when the bidding started, I think we opened on that at $125,000 because the bidding online had already started that high. It was all of a sudden the bidding just went crazy in the room between several of the dealers, and you can see them looking at each other, and I kept yelling at the guys, don't look at him, look at me, and don't look at him, look at me, and let's keep going, are you in, are you in? And the hammer finally came down at $375,000 for this one piece, which just was outstanding. And the other piece that was a lot of fun was there a pair of pedestals that were on either side. They were large. They were almost just about as tall as I am, just about 5'4". And they were on either side of the auctioneer's podium. And the bidding started, and I think they were estimated at 30,000 to 60,000 for the pair, and the bidding started, and I think we had like a $75,000 or $80,000 bid, and out of the blue from the back of the room, this tall gentleman just yelled out $200,000. I said, well, that's a way to level a room. I said, thank you, I'll take that. Yes. And anyone else care to play? And but no, and that's sold at $200,000. So those are my two just real big highlights that I thought were just
so people understand what these pieces were. They were made in the late 19th, early 20th, in the first decade of the 20th century, and they were by an artisan by the name of Francois Linky, who was originally from the Czech Republic, when it was called Pankraz, actually, and he started doing the ormolu fittings for people who did the cabinetry, and so he was in such high demand at the time that a number of his items ended up at the International Exhibition in 1873, and when these items do come up, which is very rarely at this level, these pieces have not been seen that we sold this weekend for probably 50 or 60 years. So, and they were in the family for even longer than that. So when these things came up, they were very easily traced. And once we found out who the designers of the furniture were and who did the mountings, they were signed pieces. I mean, this was a perfect storm of what causes a world record on certain items.
Right.
So
well,
it had everything you can imagine going for it. So when the hammers came down for these items, there were four of the items in the sale totaled $900,000. So just four items. So it was
amazing. It also goes back to the history because of his work, the Lanky's work. Is he started and became very popular in Paris and really established his reputation at the 1900 World's Fair when it was held in Paris. And that's where his talent and creativity was really exposed to the world. And that's why there were a number of pieces that were made for that market, especially in Paris, but then also London and throughout Europe and then making its way to the United States. So when it goes back to something like that, and the craftsmanship, the quality, and the way that they were made, and just the creativity in his styling, in what he did, you just don't see pieces like this. And this is where I was in a taking a class or a workshop, and you know the instructor was making a generalization: brown furniture, brown is down. You know, it's just not selling. And I put my hand up. I said, "Some brown is down. Hold on." You can't just tell everyone that because you don't want to pass up these treasures. And that's what was so different is that all of the pieces that were coming from this house, we had 143 lots that were ours out of the 400 and some lots that we did on Saturday. And they were fresh to the market. They really had been in this house and were in really wonderful condition. And the energy and the vibe in the room was great. Even the smaller mirrors and things that we added to the collection because of the provenance that was helping boost some of those prices. So much so that even some of the porcelains, like we had dishes and things, they were very nice dishes. They were retailed at Tiffany and they were, you know, just wonderful manufacturers. But even those were selling like crazy. But right after the grouping of our things started, there was, you can almost sense the shift, right, Greg, in the room, that it was like, okay, now we're going on to the other things, and things were passing, things were selling. I mean, things were selling well, but then there were some other furniture pieces and some other pieces that just were not bringing as much.
Well, I think also one of the things that was wonderful about this sale is the time period for the La Belle Epoque in Europe and around the world was really a very limited period of time. It was probably only about 30 years. And so the output of artisanship of the furniture, the decorative arts, was quite amazing. And a number of the very famous houses, decorative houses, worked together with the artisans to combine and make some of the most magnificent pieces of furniture and decorative arts that I think, other than the 18th century, have ever been brought to the market. And when these things do come up, it's a very specific collector base that buys these things. And it is a small collector base, and we weren't exactly sure how this was going to all pan out because it is such a very specialized niche. And wow. All I can say is, wow, we were just gobsmacked. We knew it was going to do well, but we had no clue that these things are now, they've gone from this country, now they're going to be shipped all over the world. So it was really a rather exciting thing to be a part of. And there again, we chose very carefully the auction house that we did, and we've talked about this in the past, about when you're selling something, do your research. Make sure that you're putting it in the best market for your client or for yourself if you're doing it on your own. So, and this particular house, being in the Metro DC area, there's a lot of history there and a lot of collectors who will go
appreciate to this house, and they appreciate these things.
Yeah, the beauty of these things. And that's why we chose this particular auction house.
Yeah, Potomac Auctions.
Yeah, Potomac Auctions in Alexandria. So it was a remarkable weekend, and we're still kind of on riding the crest of the wave. It was an exciting week to see. And when everything settles down, the client was extremely happy with the results because they weren't exactly sure what was going to happen with it as well. So it was really a win-win for the house and for the client. So we were very pleased with the whole outcome. So and it's great to establish a world's record on something.
As somebody say who is not up on all things, it doesn't surprise me when prices like you talk about happen at auctions like you just described. That seems within the realm, I think, and not only me, but most people who listen to stories about auctions. I think where people get really confused with auctions is when they hear the ridiculously high prices on some things that just really shake you to the foundations. And I think people confuse those like celebrity auctions and auto auctions and these unique things with regular auctions like this. And it's not that it's a regular auction, but it's an auction of things that people can understand the value and history of.
That's true. It's it is different than selling an $800 million painting or something, you know. That's just in the realm of hard to understand, because even for us,
everybody, even no matter what type of furniture you get, and when you buy furniture, when you furnish your house, and when you put things in your house, there's an attachment to it. And I think people can realize that attachment and understand how somebody might find a certain amount of value. I mean, furniture and housing and stuff like that is a very personal thing that everybody can understand.
Well, and yes. Once you understand also the context that goes behind it of when it was made, there's not a lot of them out there, that it was this special craftsmanship that went into it, that it was signed, all of these different factors that go into it, that makes, again, that also adds to the rarity and desirability of the pieces. So I understand what you're saying. It's that when you see some of these other things and you just think, why would somebody pay that much for that?
But it's funny because it's in the bargain barn the other day, they had this wood piece that was just, it looked like it was a stand, a really weird stand. But I immediately fell in love with it and I got it for like five bucks. But I'm going to spend probably $35, $40, $50, maybe $60 getting it refurbished. And so it looks because I immediately fell in love with it. And I think that's the visceral feeling that people can that people have.
That's the way.
Well, that's what collecting is about. Yes. And when you buy something that when you collect something that you really like, you're going to, the hunt is the big thing. First of all, you want to try to find the best at the best piece at the best price. And so what if you have to spend a few bucks to have it refurbished to get it where you want it and can really enjoy it? That is why some of these pieces have endured, because people have done exactly the same thing as you did when you went to the bargain barn. They collected what they like. They invested some time and some effort and some money to bring it up to where they want it to be and enjoy it in its best state. And that is the key to any collection. And it doesn't matter whether it's a piece that you buy for 30 bucks or a piece you buy for 30,000 bucks. It's the same psychology behind it all. And it's the same thing that we as collectors who have this sickness understand. So it is true. I mean, you laugh, but you know it is true.
Yeah.
Marshall, we're both very sick people here.
I collect the damnedest things, and there's no and like I said, it's visceral for me. It's not monetary.
Sure.
It's not an investment in the future. If I like it, I collect it. It's plain and simple. I don't worry about all the rest. when they auction off my estate, you can bring pennies, folks.
Well, just remember this. It only takes 100 pennies to make a dollar.
That's right. All right, so what's your guys' schedule before we leave here?
So we're going to Wheeling on Thursday. We're flying into Pittsburgh, and we've got a big collection that we're taking a look at in Pittsburgh, and then we're spending the weekend in Wheeling. There's a big event that's taking place, so we are attending that, and we'll give you all the details on that next week.
All right.
Come back
I'll
Sunday.
Give you a hint. It's the Viennese ball.
Okay. All right. Well, have fun, guys. Be safe, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yes, okay. Have a great week,
buddy.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Tim Luke, Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.